I would invite your attention for a few moments this evening, the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. How about if I preach a one-point message tonight? Everybody's smiling, face just, turned upside down. That's good. All right. I'll make a deal with you. I'll preach a one-point message tonight if you will commit to taking that one point and considering that one point throughout the next week. I've got one thing I would like to share with you tonight. Just one thing. One central focus. If you'll take that as you live this week and apply it, I think we'll all be better off. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Luke chapter 11, verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Anthony Hardin, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever wanted to make a change in your life? Do you know how to make a change? Do you know how to successfully make a change? The text that we just read, we read about an unclean spirit that it says it departs an individual. Now, this spirit, for whatever reason, left. We don't know, but he wasn't exercised, or he just of his own volition decides to leave this individual for whatever reason. And immediately when this unclean spirit left this individual, the man's condition improved. We know that by the way he found the house when he come back. But there's a problem with this man. Once this unclean spirit left, he didn't do anything. He didn't invite God to come and take residence within him. Instead, as we preach this morning, this guy just kind of remained neutral. He just did absolutely nothing. And all that was left was a very nice, unoccupied space. As a matter of fact, upon the return of the Spirit, when he goes out and he looks for places of rest and finds none, then he says, and I will go back to my house, my dwelling place. And he goes back and he finds the place that he calls his. And I do want you to take note of his. Okay? I will return to my house from which I came. You see, he's declaring ownership. And so he returns, and it says he finds it. And if you read in, here it says he finds it swept and put in order. If you read in the book of Matthew, and as a matter of fact, some Greek texts include this in Luke, but in our Bibles it's not included. But it says that he finds it, first of all, unoccupied, meaning empty. So it's just an open space waiting for someone or something to come in. He finds it swept, which means it's clean. It's ready for something or someone to come in. And then finally put in order. That put in order is really an interesting word, which literally means to decorate. This demon, upon his return, finds his dwelling place empty, clean, and decorated, ready to be inhabited. just waiting for someone or something to move in. Now I want to ask you again, have you ever made a resolution? And have you ever, decided that you're going to change your life? And as I was considering that, I thought, how many times have people made resolutions to clean up their lives, to change their lives, to quit bad habits, to change bad behavior? I don't know how many times as a pastor I've heard people say, well, boy, Brother Doug, one of these days I'm going to get back in church, but I have a few things that I've got to clean up first. You ever heard that? I've got some things I've got to get right first. And I just smile at him and say, you don't have a clue. Well, under my breath, I say, you don't have a clue. They make these resolutions and soon they learn that personal resolve is not enough. I don't know how many times I've seen people start coming to church and they say, I'm going to come every Sunday. And first thing you know, within a month or so, you don't see them anymore. What happens? It's because that bad habit or that bad behavior comes right back where it started. And they wind up in worse shape oftentimes than they began when they did start. I've heard people make the comment, well, I've tried to do better, but I just can't. And they just give up and quit. I've tried to be faithful in church. I've tried to quit drugs. I've tried to quit alcohol. And, I just give up. I can't do it. You're right. You can't do it. You see, the problem is we may clean it out, sweep it, but there's still this big empty hole inside of us. And that big empty hole is going to be inhabited by something or someone. Here's one of the parts I want you to get. You will not remain vacant very long. It's not enough to clean house. You've got to fill that house with the right tenant. Okay? And this text is a reflection of what we studied this morning. The problem of these folks, they were very religious, but they were empty on the inside. The reason they were empty on the inside is because they didn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that we are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. When the Spirit of God is dwelling or living within you, I mean controlling you, it has a permanent effect. So that's where you have to start. You start with salvation. Just your personal resolve to do better is not good enough. Then you go to another step, realizing whatever you put in comes out. Did you hear me? Whatever you put in comes out. You take that first step of salvation, but it doesn't end there. What you put in comes out. What's the diet, your spiritual diet each week? How much time did you spend in the Word of God last week? Don't answer. Did you dust off your Bible or had to look to find your Bible this week or this morning before you came to church? If you did, there's a problem. You see, I believe that not only is this just advice to the Pharisees, but this is advice that works. It works because if you have a continual daily diet in the Word of God, it changes you. I cannot explain it. Other than the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Yeah. It changes you. And when you spend time in the Word every day, there's not room for other things that would tear your life down. Not just time in the Word of God, but are you faithful in prayer? I mean daily, faithful in prayer. Spending that time on your knees just talking to the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to spend time in prayer and then get up off your knees and go chase a sinful desire. You ever notice that? How many of you have ever been tempted? We all have. You want me to tell you how to get rid of the temptation? Get on your knees and cry out to the Lord. It's hard to get off your knees and chase that temptation. What am I saying? I'm saying you've got to be filled, or you're going to be filled with something. With something. And you have the right and even the responsibility to decide what that something is. It starts with salvation. It continues with a daily diet of the Word of God and prayer. It continues even beyond that of putting what you know from the Word of God into practice. Loving God and loving people. It's hard to chase sinful desires when you're loving God and loving people. You see, the point is this. You fill those empty places with the good of God. And you'll be amazed. You will be amazed the permanent change that will take place in your life. There are other options. I mean, we can spend all of our lives watching TV. You know, and I watch TV, don't get me wrong. I love a good football game. I'll watch some of the shows on the History Channel and whatever, you know. I really watch those eating shows. Most of the eating shows I can trust, you know, to not have to look at things I don't need to see. But you know what I'm noticing more and more each day? I'm noticing that even in the commercials, even when I choose good shows, the commercials come on and show me things I do not need to see. I do not need to see a Victoria's Secret commercial. I do not. Because it puts in things that do not need to be put in. You realize pornography is a real problem in our country. I think pornography is leading to the downfall of our country and the immorality of our country. I've heard startling statistics that something like 70-80% of American men under the age of 40 or 50, have a problem with pornography. I want to tell you something. When you fill your life with such filth, filth is going to come out. The point is, don't put those things in. You're empty on the inside. Fill yourself with Jesus Christ first as your Savior. Fill yourself with Jesus Christ in prayer and study. Fill yourself with Jesus Christ in service. Because if you don't, the outcome is not pretty. Matthew chapter 12, and I want to turn there because he ends a little bit different. In Matthew chapter 12 is the same account of this story in verse 43. It says verse 45. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. That demon has returned, sees the place decorated, cleaned, and ready to be inhabited, and he returns. And he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be also with this wicked generation. That last line is what's not included in Mark. So shall it be also with this wicked generation. You know what Jesus is saying about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the hypocrites of that day? He's saying there's no hope for them. Because they don't know how to change. They don't know that change starts on the inside with the Savior coming to live within you. The change that goes on. They don't understand. Oh, they were religious, but they didn't get the message that Jesus was proclaiming that changed a person from the inside out, not the outside in. They would not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. The one point that I want you to get, that I want to ask you to live with this week, is whatever you fill yourself with, that's what you will be. If you fill yourself with filth, filth's going to come out. But if you fill yourself with God, every aspect of life, you want to make a difference not only in your life, but the lives of others, fill yourself with Jesus every way that you can. Because you're going to be inhabited. But the choice is yours. And the choice is mine. You may be here tonight and you've never taken that first step. That first step, the salvation. Invite Jesus to come in and take residence within. If you've never done that, you need to take care of that tonight. You need to be saved tonight. You want to change your life? It starts not with your personal resolve. It starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and letting Him change you. Then you walk with Him daily, time in prayer, time in His Word. Maybe you're here tonight and you've already made that personal commitment. You've invited Jesus into your heart, but you've held back. You know, there's a spot reserved for your one precious sin, or there's a spot that you're just holding open, you know, that you don't want to give over to Jesus. Jesus died for all of you. Don't hold out on Him. You want a life that's rewarding? Make Jesus the Lord of your life. You put in, you fill those empty spaces with Jesus. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we thank You for the reminder that we'll not remain vacant long. So, Lord, we come to You with the desire to be filled with You. And I pray for those in this service, Lord, that if there is anyone who's lost, who've never made that personal commitment, I pray that they'll make that commitment to You and receive You as their personal Savior. And I pray, Lord, for those who are already saved, that maybe we've been holding back on You, those little, Lord, those things, that those areas that we've just declared off limits to You, Lord. I pray that tonight, we'll just open ourselves up to You and say, Lord, take all of me. And I pray that Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.